The following is an original production of Mod Mobilian Radio.
You're listening to Babylon Mobile from Mod Mobilian Radio and ModMobilian.com. My name is Emily. Thanks for tuning in for this week in review, so to speak. The usual players here this afternoon. Everybody had a pretty big weekend they're still recovering from, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But just so you know, everybody that's here, we're going to pass the mic around.
Steve Granger.
And Mac Lipscomb.
And before we get started, we want to send a very happy birthday wishes to Mac. He turned 21 today. It's very good times. Speaking of good times, we're going to jump right in. Sunday was the benefit for Luke Rivers at Haley's. You've heard us talk about it a lot. He shattered his knees, had to have reconstructive surgery on it, and months of physical therapy are in his future. So to help with the mounting medical bills, Haley's Through the Love for Luke benefit Sunday from 2 until whenever the sun came up. And tell her to turn it down a little bit. And so we have a couple of statements we want to read from Caitlin and Delaine. They weren't able to be here today. So those statements from Caitlin and Delaine. Caitlin wanted everybody to know that it's been the most successful benefit they've ever hosted, and the outpouring of love for Luke was overwhelming. They thank everyone for being a part of that day. There were loads of people here. This is my personal opinion. There were loads of people here from back in the day, and it was so good to see everyone. And from Delaine wants everyone to know that she and the whole staff of Haley's are overwhelmed by the support. And they want to thank all the musicians and volunteers that helped to make that day such an amazing day and such a profitable day for Luke. Now, Steven, I know you weren't here, but Mac, what did you take away from the benefit on Sunday?
I was very, very happy with it. It was a really great turnout. People were hammered out here supporting Luke. Watching the raffles was pretty interesting. I'm not going to go into great detail about that, but watching the raffles was great. Like I said, it was awesome turnout. I think it was great that people wanted to show up and show their support for Luke. I was not going to go into detail about the raffles.
I will.
Somebody went 5-2-3 when it was supposed to be 5-2-3. That was Miss Emily Sarah Hayes, who had an issue with that. She got a little drunk early, but we all love her anyway, and it was great. Everybody thought she was extremely great entertainment for that. But no, I was very, very happy with how many people showed up to support Luke. Do we ever get an exact figure on how much they raised?
We haven't gotten an exact total yet, but as soon as we do, we will let everyone know. But from what I understand, it's quite sizable and is going to help him out a great deal, which was the whole benefit of that. And I know Lucas said that he wants to start, after he gets back on his feet, literally, he wants to start like a benevolent fund for downtown service industry folks, be it security or servers who run into issues like this and need a little help. So I think that would be fantastic. And I kind of think that Mobile needs something like that for not only service industry folks, but for musicians as well.
I agree. And I do regret not being able to come on Sunday. We all love Luke, and I'm glad that they were able to throw it together and that there was a massive turnout. The Sunshine Factory that played? I saw that those guys played, and I'm glad that it, and I'm sure that brought in a different crew of people who may not know Luke, but may want to see them, and it's always a party. Who else was it?
Greg Phillips was there, and Perry Wall. Perry Wall was there. Matt and Sherry Neese. That's actually the first time I got to meet Greg Phillips. Wonderful, beautiful man. Love that man to death. He's awesome.
And yeah, and like Emily was saying, around here, especially after certain time of night, it does get a little dicey in certain areas. The more the later the bar stays open, the more people are going to flock to it. who may or may not have the best interest of the people who work here and the people who are here every single night helping out and protecting and keeping things civil and nice. And we do need something like that for musicians and for the people who work here and for the people who come here to have fun. And that is what keeps these buildings going and these businesses booming.
Very well said. Another thing going on downtown that I want to remind everybody about is 12 Years a Slave at the Crescent Theater. If you haven't visited modmobilion.com yet, or if you haven't checked out Mod Mobilion's Facebook, there's a link to it on there. A great review from Logan Bowes. And it's on a three. I can't say three. Apparently, since Sunday, I can't say three. It's on a three-week run at the Crescent. And people are expecting to see it win Best Movie of the Year and all that jazz with the award shows. What do you think, Steven?
I haven't seen it yet, but Steve McQueen is a fantastic director. He's worked previously with Fassbender on Shame, which came out in 2011, I do believe. It got a limited run here in the States due to an NC-17 rating. But when I was living overseas, I did get a chance to see it in a cinema, and it is such a great film. And he also did Hunger with, again, Fassbender. He's kind of McQueen's boy as of late. It's great from what I hear. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And from what, like Emily said, I do hear it is a movie of epic proportions that everyone's saying is going to sweep or has the potential enough to sweep the award season come next year.
It was like Logan and Tony reviewed it, and it may be the highest I've ever seen those two give it. Logan gave it a 97 out of 100. Tony gave it a 95 out of 100. And they pretty much liked everything about it. And I think one of them's only complaint was that they don't like Brad Pitt, think he's a wink link. So you have that going on at the Crescent. If you want to read the reviews before you check it out, definitely check out modmobilion.com. You can find out more about it. Moving into shows coming to town, music coming to town, Thursday night, so effectively tonight, because you'll hear this on Thursday, it's like the future. You can catch Steve Vai at the Soul Kitchen. Friday night, South Sounds Music Festival alums St. Paul and the Broken Bones will be at Alabama Music Box. And you think back to South Sounds, and if you haven't been to a South Sounds Music Festival, one of the cool things that happen is during the day before the shows start in the venues at night, South Sounds will showcase the up-and-comers who are most likely playing their first show in Mobile ever in Cathedral Square for free. St. Paul and the Broken Bones was the most talked about showcase band from South Sounds last year, which led to them being booked in Fairhope. They have sold out Callahan's. It was the first time that I've lived in Mobile, and I've lived here for almost 6 years. It was the first time I've ever heard about Callahan's having to pull out furniture to accommodate the crowd for St. Paul and the Broken Bones. And being that it's kind of cold now, I can see why St. Paul and the Broken Bones are playing at Music Box versus Callahan's, because to accommodate the crowd, Roll Tide, puppy dog just walked by, to accommodate the crowd, you need to have a bigger indoor place. So St. Paul and the Broken Bones this Friday at Alabama Music Box, and Metal Monday at the Music Box. But did y'all happen to see St. Paul and the Broken Bones there down here?
Yes, I love them. I think they're phenomenal. And like me and Clay said last week, every single time they play anywhere in Mobile, they pretty much pack the damn place out and just kick major fucking ass, and it's amazing. Love them. I wish I could go see them, but I can't. I have other things I gotta attend to. Hey. Anyway, let us know how great the show is. Let us know. Post on mobility.com. Tell us how great you think the show was, and feedback, and all that good stuff.
Yes, and speaking of South Sounds, work has already begun on that. You'll be hearing announcements of bands very soon. But you're going to have a couple of opportunities to score VIP passes through various things downtown. The first round of VIP passes that were up for grabs for South Sounds 2014 was during Luke's benefit on Sunday. So get in on that. You'll see where we're sharing it on Mod Mobilion. But if you aren't following South Sounds on Facebook yet, you totally should. South Sounds Music Festival. The Fairhope Film Festival went over quite well. If you want to see more about that, check out modmobilion.com. Let's see. Sandy Simpson took the door off of his office like he said he would. So keeping those promises. Way to go, Sandy. It's much appreciated. Roll Tide, indeed. Speaking of Roll Tide, I do believe I'm the one person that asked him during the debates and the town halls and stuff like that when we hosted or co-hosted one with Lanyap. I did ask him if he was a Bama fan. He said yes. I'm curious as to what he thinks about the letter, the open letter in the Wall Street Journal about how everyone would like Auburn to beat Alabama. It's a little wonky to me. I will say this, because this is going to lead us into sports. I will say this about there being an open letter to Auburn about beating Alabama. I get it. It's maybe you're tired of hearing about Alabama all the time. I'm an Alabama fan, so I'm not. But I can understand how about hearing about one team for a long period of time, winning national championships can kind of grate on your nerves. However, these are college-age kids playing for their school and their future careers. If they're busting their ass to achieve these things, then more power to them. Nobody is handing it to them. They are fighting it out. And if you watch the LSU game, Lord help us all. But I'll pass it to Steven, get Steven's thoughts on it, and then we'll go to Mac and get the rest of the sports rundown after we get all opinions on that. So, Steven.
The fact that the Wall Street Journal are bringing this up at all is definitely a statement upon how dominant Alabama's been for the past few years. Withstanding the Texas A&M loss last year, they haven't. That's the only loss they've had since.
We lost LSU the year before.
That's what I'm saying, but A&M was the only one last year. So it's been 2 years since we've lost one game in 2 years. I do understand why they would be so sick and tired of hearing about this one team dominating over and over again. People like the winner until they get sick and tired of the winner, and then they want to jump down the throat, and they want to jump on the bandwagon of, let's see him lose, let's see the underdog beat him. And I don't know that Auburn is an underdog this year, because they did quite well against A&M.
It's a three-point swing right now.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bama's 9-0, Auburn's 9-1.
Yes.
I'm correct. Okay. So, Auburn's one loss to LSU. Bama just beat LSU. Auburn's not next week. It's later on in the month, so they've got a little bit of time to rest up. Not saying that every coming game is going to be a cakewalk. Another thing that I want you to touch on too, Mac, as well, because you know more about sports than I do, but I haven't really heard AJ McCarron be mentioned as a Heisman candidate until recently. And Saturday he surpassed John Parker Wilson for passing yards. He's like the school's all-time pass leader, and he did it in, I believe, 263 less plays than John Parker Wilson, which is very impressive. Exactly. So we're gonna let Mac fill you in on that, since he knows that. Touch on the Heisman, LSU, Alabama, and what's coming up in sports this week.
Well, just to get back on to the whole issue with everybody wanting Bama to lose to Auburn, it's not so much that it's a single team that's the issue, because there was never an issue with Notre Dame was knocking out national championships left and right. There was no problem with Oklahoma was not knocking out championships left and right. Or Bama back in – well, actually, there was a problem with Bama back in the 60s. For instance, when we played Nebraska, we were both undefeated, and we beat the shit out of Nebraska, and Nebraska was named national champions that year from the AP. For some odd reason, the country has a problem with those good old boys in Alabama winning national championships. They keep forgetting that the average age of a college football player is 20. 20. Those kids are playing for more than just money and playing for more than – you know, contracts. They're playing because they love their school. All of them. That's what I'm saying. Every kid on every college team, regardless of how you feel about them, they're playing for their damn school and they're playing for pride. And that's what it comes down to. And it pisses me off to hear people talk so much crap about us. It's, you know what? If you have a problem with this so damn bad, give some freaking fundraisers to other schools so maybe they can recruit better. I'm just saying. Or maybe the other schools should come down here to the South and get us Golden Boys to win them national championships. Because, in case you haven't noticed, 20%, literally 20% of Alabama's roster is from Mobile County and Baldwin County. So keep on rocking, Mobile. Keep on putting on those badass sports stars. Because we're kick-ass. But anyway, on to other sports news before I get on this big-ass rant about people hating on Alabama because it just really upsets me. We do have, yes, Russ is joining us. Hey, Russ.
I have not seen or heard about that yet. So
there's an open letter in the Wall Street Journal about Auburn beating Alabama so they do not win another national championship.
Some people have a lot of time on their hands. That's all I can say. Not knowing the people involved or why on earth the Wall Street Journal would want to publish this, it's just anybody's guess.
Maybe a slow news day.
That sounds like it.
Well, the whole problem I'm having with the Wall Street Journal's issue with this is just I don't understand why they have to pick on Bama so much. I don't know if it's because we are that good or if it's just because people are tired of hearing about the South. You know, you used to hear about teams in Texas and Oklahoma and the West Coast got all the promise with football. But if you really go back and think about it, Alabama is the most dominant college football team of all time. Not just recently, there have been runs in the 60s, 70s, and the 20s and 30s where we dominated football, and it's quite upsetting that they're now doing it. I don't know if it's just because it's the hot thing to talk about right now and everything, and maybe – I hate to bring this up. Sorry, AJ, if you're listening. You know I love you. You're my boy. But the whole thing with Catherine might not be helping either because she's kind of brought more publicity onto Alabama with being – with AJ and being in national commercials and all this kind of stuff. But then again, let the record speak for itself. AJ McCarron is, 34-2? 35-2? 36-2, whichever one it is. I mean, I know he can finish out this season at 39-2, and that's the best record ever for a starting quarterback in NCAA college football history, which leads me into the Heisman debate. They showed a highlight during the LSU game where AJ was fourth in the Heisman race. Right now he's listed as fourth. That's once. Well, you got famous Jameis from FSU, you got Mariota from Oregon, and Johnny Manziel. Okay, and don't get me wrong, Johnny Manziel this year for Johnny Manziel is better than last year. He's put up better numbers. Yes, he has more interceptions and he doesn't have as many rushing yards, but for a passing quarterback, he's had a better year this year. What people keep forgetting is that last year, A.J. McCarron had just as many touchdowns, passing touchdowns, which was 30, and he had 10 less interceptions than Johnny Manziel and never got mentioned.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first time I've really heard Coach Saban speak about it was after the LSU game.
Coach Saban spoke on this before the season started and when last season ended. He thinks that A.J. is the best college quarterback of all time, not just because of his performance, but how he plays the game. He plays the game better than probably anybody has ever played. He's pretty much Peyton Manning when Peyton Manning was in the pros. AJ calls the shots. He calls the games. He does what he needs to do. And the sad fact is that what Heisman voters look at is numbers. I'm sorry. The only number I give a shit about is wins and losses. Rings. The dude has more rings than he has losses. Because if you don't forget, he was on that team behind Greg McElroy as the backup. The dude's got 3 rings already. So he could win. He could have 4 rings before he leaves Alabama, and that's never happened before. He was the first quarterback in college football history to ever win back-to-back national championships as a starting quarterback. And to be honest with you, with him he feels very disrespected. You can check out all of the interviews he's had on ESPN.com or anywhere you want to look. CNN.com, for instance, has an interview with AJ about how he feels disrespected as a quarterback. But there's a strong chance, considering the Heisman is after the SEC championship game, if he goes out and we went out and we beat Auburn like I know we will, and we go and play Missouri in the SEC championship game, that he will have a strong chance of actually going to the ceremony, which would be the highest somebody's ever made for Alabama as a quarterback. We've had a lot of 4 finishes and a lot of 5 finishes, but we've never had a 3 finish, which means you actually go to Radio City Music Hall, you go to New York, and you actually get to do the ceremony. I think he deserves it. I think Coach was right. He is by far the best college quarterback right now and has been for a long time. We love you, AJ. Keep doing what you're doing.
And there's that. Now, to be fair to other folks that contribute to Mod Mobilian, it's a great year for the SEC, I think. It is. And for Doc, who is not here, your Auburn Tigers are 9-1, so there you go. I don't think anybody expected Gus Malzahn to turn it around that quickly. Of course, Mac knew it was going to happen. However, I think the majority of us didn't think it was going to happen that quickly. We're taking a drink break. But yeah, college football dominant everywhere right now in the South. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. Before we move on to pro sports, there are two things I failed to mention. Two things before we move on to the rest of sports that I forgot to mention. Porter from Some Dark Holler hooked up with the Pollies and released a new record that's out via TIAM. So good. We're having people gasp around the table saying, so good. It's so good. And Belladere, which just finished up a tour around the country, along the East Coast and stuff, the majority of their members are also in the Pollies, and the Pollies are back in town, and by in town, I mean up Muscle Shoals way. They're recording a new album with the help of Ben Tanner from Alabama Shakes, and of course, Alabama Shakes coming to the Singer very soon. So that's going to be absolutely fantastic. And so now with that music minute that I forgot to mention earlier, we'll go ahead and get a look at the upcoming games. Then we'll throw it to Russ, and Kenan will be joining us shortly to get the food aspect of things.
Okay, big games coming up this week in college football. I have to throw a couple out for, you know, I got Clay's not here today, guys, and it's kind of upsetting. I miss my sports buddy. But
second-rate bananas over here.
It's upsetting. Florida State's at Syracuse. Florida State's at Syracuse, which could be a trap game for Florida State. Georgia at Auburn. Sorry, Georgia fans. Auburn's going to have about 455 yards of rushing against y'all, and they're going to probably win that game by at least two touchdowns. Oklahoma State at Texas. This is what I got to speak up for Clay here. You got Oklahoma State at Texas, which is a big game for those Cowboys in Oklahoma State. Stillwater. Let's hope they kick some ass and beat those Longhorns. I have a feeling they will. They're playing very, very well right now. You got Michigan State at Nebraska. And to get into the SEC, a really big game is Baylor and Texas Tech. And then you got Florida, South Carolina. I got South Carolina winning that by two touchdowns as well. And my phone's freezing. Anyway, there it goes. Let's see, you got I went too far. Alabama at Miss State. That is in Starkville. Troy doesn't come up. And you got, like I said, Florida and South Carolina. I have a feeling South Carolina's going to win that because Florida's so beat up. But praise for Will Muschamp. He deserves to be there. It's not his fault. Florida's bad. And you got Bama at Miss State, Stanford at USC, and Oregon State at Arizona State. But there's some really big games in college football this week. There have been some issues at Ohio State with players running their mouths about them being able to beat Bama. And Urban Meyer said that he does not appreciate that and he does not agree with that. For instance, him in the coaches poll himself put Ohio State behind Bama. Oregon Stanford. I love being right. I don't mean to sound like a dick with legs. I really don't. But that's 2 years in a row that Stanford has saved Oregon the embarrassment of having to play Alabama national championship. Because what Stanford is a smaller version of Alabama. They play physical. They're big up front. They play just like Bama. They're just smaller. So, and it's funny because Oregon fans even said this week on Twitter and other things that they're glad they don't have to play Bama now. Because they see what I see is that Stanford's a smaller version of Alabama. But in other news in college football, Russ has some stuff on Troy. There we go.
Not much. Friend of mine follows it quite a bit, and she says basically that's always a fun game to watch because they usually are very close and they've come out from behind and won against a few unexpected teams. So they will. Rumor has it be in the GoDaddy Bowl this year, so We didn't think they'd have a chance at that. Their record wasn't quite good enough.
That depends on what South does. If South wins out, it will be a tie between Troy and South. You guys, they go Daddy Bowl, but I think Troy has a tiebreaker as they beat South. Speaking of which, South, good job, Coach Jones. You have kicked major ass. Sorry, that program. I love what you're doing. Keep it up, man. Keep kicking ass at South. You're doing great. And now we're going to move to professional sports, if that's okay. Peyton Manning missed practice again this week after the butt kicking he got last week. He was hit a lot. The Chargers lit him up. He was hit on every play, and he's getting up there in age, and with that long neck he has, the neck issues he has, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards the fact that he might be leaning towards retirement. And I don't want him to. I don't really like Peyton because he played for Tennessee. Being a Bama fan, you know, there's two teams you pull for, Alabama, whoever's playing Tennessee. But this week we got the Jets and the Bills, Colts and the Titans, which Titans gave up, let the Jacksonville Jaguars win the first game, and Buccaneers also won the first game of this season this year. Ravens at Bears. I got to talk about this one for Clay because he's not here. You got the Browns at the Bengals. Browns have a very strong chance of winning that game if that defense shows up. My Steelers are playing the Lions. Hopefully that will happen. Falcons playing the Bucks. Maybe the Falcons turn their season around and win that one. The Chargers had a very strong showing against the Denver Broncos, but ended up losing that game. Got the Dolphins. Saints. Who dat nation? Y'all got the 49ers. You got to stop calling Kaepernick and all them good, great people in the 49ers and have fun with that. Packers got the Giants. Hopefully Eddie Lacy can show up and spank that butt and keep running like he is. And the big showdown. The big showdown. 9-0 Chiefs against 8-1 Broncos. That's going to be a big game. It's going to be a very big game. Maybe Peyton can go out and maybe not miss this game and play and beat the Chiefs. We'll see, though. You got the Patriots at the Panthers. Nothing too serious there. But, like I said, Peyton did miss practice from that butt-whooping he got against the Chargers. You have anything to talk about this, Russ? No? That's really about it in NFL news this week. Other than the fact that Big Ben from the Pittsburgh Steelers is actually kind of scared to go against the Lions because he knows how good Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh are at hitting the quarterback, and Big Ben's also getting up there in age and having issues with health. And then an issue, there's something that came up this last week that's actually given me some big issues, and that's the Braves moving from Turner Field. They will be moving to Cobb County, Georgia in 2017 with 10,000 less seats than they have now at Turner Field. And to me, that kind of underscores how great the Braves have actually been the last 2 years. If you combine their wins the last 2 years, they're the best team in baseball. And I'm also very upset that Freddy Gonzalez did not win Manager of the Year because the Braves are hurt all year and still managed to win 96 games in a very tough division, and it's upsetting. But, yeah, they're moving to the issues they're having with where Turner Field is now is with the parking. You know, they don't really have enough parking for the seats. You know, there's going to be some fans upset about how fast the seats are going to sell out because they are going down 10,000 seats. But the parking will be better. It will be in a central location around other entertainment areas, shopping centers, and everything like that, instead of being on the side of the interstate where Turner Field is. But being a huge Braves fan that went to the last game at Fulton County, I'll have to go to the last game at Turner Field because I also went to the first game at Turner Field. I love Turner Field. Braves Nation, I'm sorry, guys, but we're losing the great Turner Field. And also speaking of the Braves, just another praise for Angelton Simmons on winning the Gold Glove. Great job on your first actual season being in the league, man. Keep dominating like you are. Keep doing great work. There's been some great college basketball games. Virginia's game last night was phenomenal. NBA is looking great. Teams are starting to kind of show up. The Pacers are still looking great. Miami's kind of wishy-washy right now. And the Boston Celtics, mine and Clay's Boston Celtics, happened to beat Miami Heat Saturday night by a buzzer beater, and it was phenomenal. I'm excited. But that's really about all I really got on sports this week. It's not really a big week for sports. There hasn't been a lot of chit-chat everywhere except for people running their mouths about Bama, which I'm still upset about. But once again, I'm sorry, Braves Nation, for them leaving Turner Field in 2017. But that means we got to show them love in Cobb County with the 10,000 less seats. Maybe they know what they're doing. We'll see. Anyway, that's all I got for sports, guys.
Thank you so much, Mac. We are now joined by Kenan Phillips. He has come to join us. We're super excited to see Kenan. Apparently, I saw Kenan on Sunday and being sleep deprived. I don't remember it. We're not going to talk about the raffles. Look, okay, because this keeps being brought up, I want to address it right now. At Luke's benefit, I'm talking, Mac. At Luke's benefit, I know it's your birthday, but I'm trying to be nice. At Luke's benefit, I had left Saturday to drive up to Birmingham for a wedding, crashed for a couple of hours, drove back to Mobile for Luke's benefit. I was exhausted. And I think everybody that knows me knows that I'm a whiskey drinker. Thinking it was a good idea to help me stay awake, when I got to Haley's, I got a vodka Red Bull. I don't drink vodka Red Bull. I don't drink Red Bull in general. That started the downward slope, which the first raffle I did just fine. The second raffle, apparently I couldn't say 513. I said 5-1 through.
Not that. I have a good comment on that.
Oh, okay. I was afraid to hand you the mic, Ken.
No.
There were so many people here, and everybody was having such a damn good time. And I was sober as a judge, okay? So I'm not saying that I didn't notice, and that people were not listening to you when you were calling out the raffles, because they were. But it was one of those deals where there were so many good people here, people I hadn't seen in a while, somebody that I've only met once and had a blast with and haven't seen in 3 years, like never even forgot she existed, you know. It was that kind of day, and Luke looked like $1 million. He's sitting at home eating Greek yogurt, drinking water, eating fish, and he's got some barbells he's working with. He does 600 of 30-pound arm lifts or something a day.
So he's going to come back better than ever.
He is, yeah. I mean, somebody came up and asked me how he was doing. I was like, he's healthier than you are. So with all that being said, it was a great event. It was so great to see people out here.
Did you have the gumbo?
I was going to say the gumbo was good.
You're a foodie, so what do you think of Caitlin's mom's gumbo?
I thought Caitlin's mom's gumbo was very good. I liked the red, you know, the redness to it. It wasn't like, I love all gumbo, but I tend to like the ones that are a little more reddish brown than the dark. And everybody, we ate bowls, and then somebody in my group was trying to figure out how they could get a free bowl because they were wanting to spend all their cash on liquor. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. Oh, no, but I'll tell you about the gumbo. So I get my gumbo ticket, come in here. I'm up there with those ladies that were selling that moonshine stuff with the lettering, the wording on the back of it or whatever. It really wasn't moonshine. It was a fake thing. I don't know. Well, I saw all the three things to put your tickets for, like the bar things or whatever. Well, I had been looking. Well, I took my gumbo ticket and put in one of those because they were the same color as the other tickets. And I said, yay. I said, do I get to do this? And she was like, you just put your gumbo ticket in there. And I was like, oh, do we know which one it is? And she said it. She found it. So I got my bowl of gumbo.
But it was excellent. I swear. If Caitlin used to do Crockpot Creations night. For some reason, Caitlin's family, or it may just be Caitlin and her mom, they are phenomenal cooks. Phenomenal. Good Southern goodness. Comfort food. Best food ever. Speaking of food, the McRib's back. How do you feel about that? Because I had one today and it was awesome.
Okay. I know a lot of people love the McRib.
I love the McRib.
Okay. Will not eat one, okay? And then yesterday, somebody posted a photo of the frozen McRibs, like how they send them to them. And it's,
I don't care. It's still good. Barbecue sauce.
It's just like an indentation. So that's all good. Yeah. Speaking of food, let's talk about...
Are you going to do brunch with me?
I am going to do brunch with you. I can't... See, I have all these parental commitments later in the day a lot of times. I've got to go to my daughter's cross-country banquet. Right. She's a junior.
I don't ask a lot.
We'll work a day. We'll work a day. I have to plan ahead, like way ahead, like in the sand ahead. But
okay, so how about March? Because you do.
I have something. How about if you go to the Greek Fest for lunch with me tomorrow?
I may be available.
Okay.
I too have a schedule.
Correct. Well, please check your schedule. So Greek Fest, it's going on all weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. go out and support the Orthodox Church, support your community. It's on Ann Street in between Government and Dauphin Street. There's parking all over the place. For my friends can come to my house and park and walk because I live fairly close.
We'll make sure we'll tell your friends. You're going to get all these Modmobilian folks Googling you to find out where you live and just come park.
Come park there. I only have two parking places.
Then why are you saying everybody can come park and walk?
I said my friends can. I mean, just give me a call before you want to come down. How about that? We'll work it out. Oh, no. No, the house next for me is vacant currently, so I have probably three more spaces. So five cars is a pretty damn good offer, I'd say. But eat, you know, you're going to go down there and eat and drink wine and listen to the band and all of that good stuff. It's warm. It's cold tonight. It's going to get a little warm and then back cold again, but this is definitely some soup weather. And I'll put another plug for gumbo. And for Sub King. I mean, look, Sub King on Government Boulevard does not need your business. I'm telling you that. They're plenty happy with what's going on so far. But you're missing out on the best damn sandwiches you will have. There's some great sandwiches in this town. My friend had the gumbo last week, and it had oysters, crab, and shrimp. No, it did not have an orgasm in it. And I got the pastrami that has great quality pastrami with sauteed onions, and their pastrami sandwich is delicious. Their Reuben, everything there, their regular subs.
Can we go there on our lunch date?
Yeah, but tomorrow I have to go to Greek Fest.
Well, maybe not tomorrow, maybe Friday.
Friday I'm out of town, but during Greek Fest.
So hard to hang out.
During Greek Fest, well, I'm going to do a cool thing on Friday.
What are you doing, Kenan?
I'm going to Greensboro, Alabama. I'm taking a group of people from Mobile to look at Greensboro. If you know, the Auburn University has the Rural Studio, which is an architecture within their architecture school, and they're located in Greensboro, and a lot of cool things have happened out of that. It's gotten a lot of national acclaim, et cetera. And in fact, this one guy from New York who had an ad agency got a grant for $1 million just to go down there and take his creative group for a year. So they lived there and just thought up ideas of cool things to do. One thing that came out of that was they saw there needed to be a community gathering place. So they created a thing called Pi Lab. And Pi Lab is located in Greensboro, and it started out just in as a building as coffee and conversation. All you could get was pie, coffee, and conversation, and it became the gathering place for the students there, people who had lived there, people who worked in the community. Really, everyone in the community came because their pie is the bomb. And it's now expanded, and they're in a larger space, and it's a true business incubation program in that all of the people that work at Pi Lab are those who may not have an opportunity to not just go to college, but maybe not even get out of high school necessarily because of not only the education system they have in that county, let's say, but for opportunity. So people come and learn not just to be bakers, but how to run a business. They have a catering side. They have, you know, a whole marketing side to them. And so they're able to provide jobs for the community, and then a lot of the cooks are actually, there's a prison, Holman Prison, or some prison nearby, and they have, I'm babbling on, they have people who are just about to get out of prison for nonviolent offenses that work in the kitchen and cook the pie. So out of that grew out something that's called Bike Lab. It's a group of guys, and these guys, I have to look at somebody when it's home. These guys have a thing called Bike Lab, and they build bikes with Alabama bamboo. And bamboo, which I didn't realize until a year or so ago, is one of the strongest materials, indestructible materials, right, little known fact. So they build these bikes that are badass bikes that people seek out, and they sell them for a good amount of money. They're in demand. So there's a thing called Bike Lab right across the street. So I'm taking some people from Mobile to look at that. And then also the Rural Studio has homes that they've built. You know, they build homes that cost $20,000 because they figured that $20,000 is the amount somebody on a limited income could afford to pay for a home. And through that, and then also banks will loan money for a trailer home that doesn't last, but they won't for a $20,000 home. So what they're seeing in the experiences is that people who don't want to live in a mobile home, trailer home, whatever you call it, can have an opportunity to be a long homeowner. So we're going to see some of those homes that they're doing because they're about to take those mass markets. So perhaps we can take some of those ideas from there and bring those back to Mobile. So that's why I'm out of town on Friday. Make soup. Next week, I think I'm going to bring a recipe, and maybe we can put it online for like a good winter soup. Why not?
We'll do a limited edition Kennan soup series on Modmo. How about that?
That's perfect. You can make suggestions to somewhere, a Facebook page or something.
Mobmobilians on Facebook. Have you ever checked it out?
Yes, I'm their fan. That's what I was going to say, but I didn't know if we had like a call-in or an email address to send it to.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
All of it.
Facebook
is,
or whatever.
Facebook messaging is fine if you want to share your soup recipes.
Just general what kind, right? And if I have a recipe, I'll bring a favorite, and I'll do others, and we can post those online on the Facebook page and at modmobilian.com.
Look at you go.
Make sure to put a triple W before that. Don't you love when people say that now? When people go, you need to go to www. And I'm like, yeah, I got that part. We all got that part.
I do sit back sometimes and like, I think everyone, Steven's saying it's been 20 years.
http://://// www.modmobilian.com.
So I have a relative that still says, or she says, well, I went out to the World Wide Web the other day and searched for so-and-so, and I'm like, okay, thanks for sharing. I mean, yeah.
I bet she's still trying to look up Ask Jeeves.
I went out to the world. Yes, Ask Jeeves. I thought that was dumb when it was around. Please don't tell me they're still in business.
No, it's ask.com now. Which sucks because what I think was so cute about Ask Jeeves was you had the little butler guy.
Yeah,
there.
He was in the logo. Like, totally, when you said that, I saw Jeeves.
Yes.
The logo.
Well, rest in peace, Jeeves. I believe that wraps it up for us this evening. More abbreviated edition of Babylon Mobile. I want to thank Haley's for hosting us again, the lovely Cassie bartending. Don't forget, every Wednesday night, $4 American whiskey. Whiskey Wednesdays. It is the best way to celebrate a Wednesday. It's good times. On behalf of Kennan, Russ, Mac, and Steven, thank you so much for tuning in to Babylon Mobile. My name is Emily, and we'll catch you next time on ModMobilian Radio and ModMobilian.com. Mobile with the mountainous.